Got the poll questions up at thefanrichmond.com. Who wins the NFC East? That's one. The other poll question, who would you rather have for the next 3 years? Dak and Zeke or Gurley and Goff? Go vote thefanrichmond.com. We'll get back to the NFL. I'll get to the stat on what every NFL quarterback means to the point spread. And I know you VCU fans are chomping at the bit. Your schedule has been released. The full schedule, non-conference yesterday, conference today. I'll give you some thoughts on that as well. Don't forget, you can listen to us on the radio.com app. Download today to listen anytime, anywhere. We will fast forward to football, week one of the NFL, week two of college football, and that includes Virginia Tech and Old Dominion, which you can hear coverage beginning at 10:30 on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, with yours truly hosting the pregame, and the man on the call, John Lazor, joining us now, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Lays, lots to talk about in week two. Still lots to talk about from week one. After sitting here with you and talking potential and possibilities going into the season, after seeing game one, what did you end up finding to be most discouraging from that performance on Saturday?
Well, I think it was the execution level on both sides of the football, and particularly when you're talking about the defense in the first half in terms of giving up some of those big plays over the top of what was a fairly stout rush defense, but one that couldn't put all the pieces together to keep points off the board, obviously, and also to prevent those big gash plays. And then offensively, just the execution level as a whole, an inability to run the football, but also for Ryan Willis to make sounder decisions throughout the course of that football game. So, you know, all the potential and all the talent and all the differences that we've discussed throughout the summer, you did see flashes of, and I definitely felt there was reasons for optimism. But nonetheless, we got back on the airport from Logan Airport with that sinking feeling in your stomach, because it was certainly a big opportunity that was let slip past.
I do want to get into a couple of the bright spots, including some of the youth on this team. But since you bring up Ryan Willis, four turnovers in the game, finish the sentence. Biggest issue or most alarming thing specifically in watching Ryan on Saturday was what? And Lays decided to end the conversation.
That was weird. That's never happened before.
All right. Well, technical difficulties. We'll try to reconnect with John Lazor. I thought he didn't like the question, but we'll decide to try to reconnect with Lays coming up. I'll answer that question while we wait for Lays. And obviously, the turnovers is the answer, but very concerning to me was staring down wide receivers. You had hoped after a year where you'd kind of been in this offense, you've evolved in this offense, and you had an offseason where, look, Ryan wasn't crowned the number one guy. But to his credit, he took on the offseason like he was the guy, because he thought he should be the guy. So you hope to see an evolution of a quarterback. And I said this yesterday, I'm not Ron Jaworski, I'm not Greg Cosell, I'm not sitting in the vault at NFL Films. But to watch him there just with a casual observer's eye and watch him just stare down one receiver, stare down one side of the field and not see other things develop, that was discouraging. That was alarming. And I know college football, I know around college football, week one, there's a lot of sloppy play. A lot of offenses aren't sharp. So I give a little bit of a bell curve because you don't have the preseason. But what did concern me was the staring down of wide receivers. We'll get Lays hooked up here in just a second. Wes McElroy, John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Once again, coverage beginning at 10:30 with the pregame and the good old noon kickoff coming up on Saturday. All right, we got Lays back by phone here. I just thought you didn't like my question, but we did have technical difficulties. Specifically, what was the thing that was most alarming in watching Ryan Willis on Saturday? Besides the obvious, the turnovers, but what caught your eye in a bad way?
Well, I think it was just the execution level as a whole, because, you know, again, you saw the potential and you saw the exciting nature of this offense at times, particularly with the younger playmakers, but you just didn't see some of the routine things happen. You saw a couple of drops. You didn't see running lanes open. You saw some penalties. Just you didn't see the right decisions in terms of where Ryan was attempting to distribute the football. So basically, you saw a team that offensively was still a work in progress, whereas you would have liked to thought that you were operating at a much crisper level coming into the season. And we all felt like that would be the case because that's what we'd seen throughout the course of camp. So it was disappointing on a number of levels in that fashion, because at the same time, you give credit to Boston College. You also recognize that that was a beatable football team and you only get 8 of those opportunities in ACC play. And now one of them is by the board. So a number of alarming things, a number of things to be optimistic about cautiously at this point. But yeah, just the overall execution level was the biggest red flag.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard me during the break. The thing that concerned me was the constant staring down of wide receivers, looking at one side of the field. And I own it that I'm not this quarterback guru or a guy who breaks down film. And that probably concerns me even more, that I picked up on how he was just locked in on either a receiver or one side of the field.
Yeah, and I think that comes back to trust level in terms of where his guys are going to be in the pattern, and maybe the fact that he hasn't established that with some guys. You're absolutely right, particularly on the Mitchell interception, or the one where he was targeting Mitchell right before halftime. He was locked in on James the entire time. There were some other smaller plays throughout the course of the game that probably didn't stand out because it didn't turn into turnovers, nor did they turn into completions. There was one with Trey Turner that really stuck out to me where that was the case. And then again, the interception where he was targeting Phil Patterson. There were a few times where he did what you're supposed to do, and he was looking off safeties and he was going through his progressions. But unfortunately, the times when that wasn't the case and he was dialed in on the first option in a pattern were definitely the majority.
Lays, they're going to lose Jalen Holston here for a few weeks, and that's going to affect the running game. And then we still don't know. I've not heard an update on Zachariah Hoyt, but that to me, walking out of Chestnut Hill, that's the one that seems to be most impactful, or could be most impactful, and probably right now is most concerning. Would you agree or disagree on that?
Yeah, definitely. And unfortunately, it's been a little bit indicative of Jalen's time here in Blacksburg, where right when you have some excitement about him, he gets banged up. That happened at the end of his freshman year, where he was going to start to eat into the share of carries and was starting to get the football more, and then unfortunately tweaked the knee, and that carried with him into last season, and he never was really right until maybe the Military Bowl, when we saw some potential, and he had a phenomenal camp, and he looked like he was in much better and more athletic shape and was ready to not be the bell cow out of the backfield, but definitely be your short yardage back, definitely be your more between the tackles back. And now that won't be the case. So you hate it for him. You hate it, obviously, from a selfish standpoint for your own run game. And it'll be interesting to see how this coaching staff adjusts. You know, Keyshawn King's rep share will obviously increase, as will Deshaun McLeese's. But at the same time, you may have to get a little bit more creative with your running back screen game, and also potentially a bigger back that doesn't happen to be a running back helping you out in some short yardage situations. And, of course, I'm referencing Quincy Patterson.
How about Hoyt? We still don't know an update on him, but you could be looking at the second week of the season and being on your third string center.
Yeah, I don't think you look at it that way in terms of where you are with strings. I don't have any official update on Zachariah, but I don't think it'll be a long-term issue.
That's good news, because that only magnifies of what happened the week before with Brock Hoffman in the NCAA. John Lazor is brought to you by Cowan Gates, joining us as Virginia Tech gets Old Dominion on Saturday. We'll get into that in just a second. Over to the defense. It was a tale of two halves, and unfortunately, in the end, the running game of Boston College just wore Virginia Tech down. But what did you see? What was the big adjustment that you saw in the second half from the Hokies?
Well, it was an adjustment from Virginia Tech, but it was even more of an adjustment from Boston College. I thought in the first half, Boston College really had the Hokies on their heels in terms of knowing that Virginia Tech was going to have to key on the run game, and they were going to have to move a bunch of personnel into the box. They had to dedicate safeties in order to stop A.J. Dillon, and also their second back along with their quarterback, Anthony Brown, who's certainly capable of hurting you with his feet as well. And that was what you had to do if you were Virginia Tech. So credit Anthony Brown with making some plays down the field against some corners that you put on islands, particularly Jermaine Waller, and also what turned out to be a pretty rapidly hobbled Jovan Quillen. And then in the second half, you saw those corners settle down a little bit. They weren't up pressing nearly as much. They were making receivers beat them a little bit further down the field and with some extra effort in their route or in their routes. But at the same time, Boston College dialed it back quite a bit and then kind of ran into the game plan for Virginia Tech. I think what they thought would happen, Boston College that is, was not dialing it back, but they thought that, okay, we opened it up through the air and we're going to go to the run now and really pound the football. And Bud Foster has seen this game quite a few times and said, we're going to stick with what we're doing. And they ran right into it. So certainly the Hokies made some adjustments, but I thought more of those adjustments came with the play calling from Boston College. You like some of those things from Virginia Tech, but unfortunately at that point, you dug yourself too big of a hole.
It was not an all hopes lost situation. I mean, this is still, and probably makes it burn even more that they only lost by 7, because then you start going back and do revisionist history of what if this or what if that. But who or what did you like walking out of Chestnut Hill? Who left a good first impression on you?
Well, I love Tavion Robinson and what he might bring to this offense in terms of different ways that you can get him the football and where you can line him up and where, particularly once Damon Hazleton's available, which we're all optimistic will be this week, where you're able to put him and how that will open things up for not just Robinson, but everybody. I like James Mitchell. I think bigger things are ahead. I saw him kind of get into things slowly in the Boston College game and didn't necessarily have a ton of opportunities, but I think that will come. On the defensive side of the ball, I love the progression for Rayshard Ashby. I think at this point he's probably your most astute defensive player, and I don't just say that because he led you in tackles and was named ACC linebacker of the year. He just always seemed to be in the right spot. He's a hard hitter. He's definitely a lunch pail type of guy. So I really like where Rayshard is as a junior. Divine Diablo getting nicked, but then coming back into the game and also being one of your leading tacklers and one of your leading run stoppers, clearly you liked as well. And Keyshawn King, there wasn't much in terms of holes for him, but he made something out of nothing more often than not, and I think showcased why this staff feels like he's going to be a game changer and game breaker at some point too.
John Lazor, Wes McElroy here on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Two more before I let you run. We all know the history of what went down last year between Old Dominion and Virginia Tech and one of the bigger upsets of the college football season. So that's going to get talked a lot about going into this game. But there's a lot of different faces on that Old Dominion team. I'm sure you got the numbers sitting there in front of you. How different? How many people are different on this Old Dominion football squad?
Well, nearly 40 in terms of just bodies, in terms of the player turnover and what Bobby Wilder's had to do for on the coaching staff, including the addition of Brian Steinspring to the run game coordinator for Old Dominion, and also the dismissal of Rich Nagy, the defensive coordinator. But the biggest three names that casual fans or even more intense fans are keying on in terms of who won't be there for Old Dominion are their receiving core. You won't have Jonathan Duhart. You won't have Travis Fulgham. You won't have Isaiah Harper. And then the one name that will be there, and that is Eric Kuma, who immediately ascends to the top of their wide receiver depth chart and was, of course, the Hokies' second leading receiver last year. So I don't think this is nearly as explosive as an offense. And ODU, of course, spiraled to 4-8 themselves last year and really never replicated what they were able to do aerially against Virginia Tech anyway. But this is also going to be a more methodical Old Dominion approach. They used the huddle against Norfolk State for the first time in the 11-year history of that program and Bobby Wilder. So they're trying to slow tempo a little bit and shorten the game. Only ran 63 plays in that game. So a lot of the personnel is different. The defensive line should also take a half step back for Old Dominion from where it was last year with the first ever drafted player out of that program and O'Shane Zimenez. So from a pure talent perspective, ODU is probably not where they were a year ago, and we're still finding out where Virginia Tech is as contrasted to a year ago, particularly at the quarterback position. So a lot of intrigue. There'll be a ton of storylines, obviously. But at the end of the day, Wes, this is a game the Hokies know that they should win.
All right, I'll let you scoot on this one then. What do you need to see Saturday from this Virginia Tech team?
Not necessarily what I need to see. It's what I absolutely want to see. But more importantly, it's what the fans want to see. And they just want to see clean execution. They want to see a game where the Hokies are clearly the superior team on the field in their home stadium, which they should be, go out and execute on both sides of the ball. And it doesn't necessarily mean what the score will be in terms of just hammering somebody or doing that. But it just means from start to finish that you're clearly the much more talented and gifted and capable team on the field. That's what Virginia Tech is. And that's what everybody needs to see happen. Just to add a little optimism and sprinkle that in here, too.
I will see you Friday night. We'll do our thing on Saturday. I look forward to it, buddy.
Sounds good, my man.
All right, John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies. You can find him on Twitter at LazVT. And coverage beginning 10:30 with the pregame show. Kickoff just past noon. And I understand in the 5 o'clock hour, we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets for this football game on Saturday. So if you'd like to go, be listening. I'll tell you when to win, 5:35. That's when you can win those tickets, 5:35, when we play some Yo McElroy trivia. I'm over a break. John Lazor, thank you very much for joining us. Brought to you again by Cowan Gates. Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.